Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today. We're always glad when you join us here. And if you'd like to take part in our conversations, here are the phone numbers, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Medford Ashland local number, 541-552-6782, and our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. It's been a little more than 2 days since an explosion blew out windows at the Jackson County District Attorney's Office in Medford. A lot has been said and written about the incident since then, and a lot of work hours have gone into the investigation. There's much more work ahead. On the plus side, the windows are back in, and so are the workers. Since the explosion happened early in the morning, no one was injured. And the propane tank that was apparently meant to blow up did not, limiting the damage. But there's clearly much work left to do. To talk about where things stand with the investigation, we have invited a member of the Medford Police Force to join us. Lieutenant Mike Boudreau is a frequent spokesperson for MPD and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Lieutenant Boudreau, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Tell us then about the progress over the first 24 hours after the bombing. I mean, that it seems like that first period is kind of critical to begin pulling all the pieces together and figure out what you got.
Yeah, you know, it really is. It's been really busy for us. We've been doing a lot of work, but you know, the first thing that we had to deal with was the crime scene itself. And yeah, that bomb actually didn't fully detonate. It partially did. The good news about that is that it didn't cause as much damage to the building, which is great, but it also left us a lot more forensic evidence that we had the ability to collect, because had it gone off and blown up, it not only would have burned, but it would be scattered into little pieces. And while there was some of that going on, it was much better for us than it could have been. So the first piece is the crime scene, the forensic evidence, and we're really hoping that that will yield something good. We did spend a lot of time collecting evidence at the scene with the help of ATF and the FBI. So definitely a very thorough job on the crime scene, which is outstanding. And while that was being done, we also had a different investigative group that was just trying to locate witnesses and follow up on leads. So we're still doing that, locating witnesses. We think we have most located, but you never really know. And then we're also looking for possible surveillance video in the area of the DA's office. Now, this area is actually surrounded by a residential neighborhood, and we believe that was probably the most likely way that the suspect entered the scene and left the scene, is probably through residential areas, as opposed to more of the surface streets, of which is right by the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, right by Medford Police Department. So he probably escaped into the residential area. So we're going to continue canvassing that area.
You say he, is that just a figure of speech, because that's
yes.
What tends to happen in these situations?
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't know if it's male or female or how many people could be involved. Could be more than one. Yeah.
You pointed out, Lieutenant Boudreau, some of the confusion that came from the early stages of understanding what actually happened here, because I know watching the comments section of some of the websites, people were confused. Wait a minute, there was an explosion, but this propane tank didn't blow.
Right.
So what happened there?
Well, there was an explosion. No question about that. There was an explosion, but the propane tank itself was not the cause of that explosion. So I can't really get into the specifics of this device, but there was an explosion that occurred that was meant to set off the propane tank, which it did not. So the propane tank was damaged. It was actually, it was ruptured, caught on fire, and it what the officer described as looking like a jet engine, basically, by shooting out propane that was actually on fire.
So there was a long flame coming out of it?
Yeah, there was a long flame, but the there was another device that was actually detonated with that propane tank that did not blow up. The propane tank just damaged it.
All right, so we're going to leave it at device, evidently.
Yes.
All right. What would have happened? I have seen some conjecture about if the propane tank itself had, in fact, exploded, what might have happened here?
Yeah, had it exploded, it most likely would have simply caught the business on fire, not necessarily blown it off its foundation, but it would have caused a significant fire at the very least. So there's a potential that the entire building could have been a loss had it gone off as intended. In fact, many of the bomb squad folks believe that would be the case. Had it gone off as intended, the building would be on the ground.
So, Lieutenant Boudreaux, was there, in fact, I mean, we saw all the pictures of the broken glass and the windows shattered in front of the building. Was there any actual fire damage inside, any water damage inside from sprinklers going on or anything like that?
You know, there was no water damage. There was no sprinklers. The blast basically caused damage to the inside of the business. There was damage from shrapnel and some flame that occurred on the inside of the business, but the majority was the outside, because the device itself, as we saw on multiple media accounts, there happened to be a news crew right down the road covering the Bradley Monocle prison escapee case that was at the jail at the time, and ran down with their camera and actually did video where the propane tank was still on fire. And what happened was that the propane tank was on the outside of the business, and the business is a brick building. The DA's office is a brick building, so it's actually torching the side of the building, but then did not catch it on fire. But there was blast did cause debris and shrapnel to go inside the business and cause damage.
So you're saying a TV show morning show crew was out there?
Yeah, one of our local TV stations was going to cover Bradley Monocle had escaped from the jail 1 year ago and was captured, and they were doing a story on that at the jail at the time, which is actually about a block away.
Huh.
When this occurred. So.
Wow, certainly lucky for them to be in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can't read minds. We don't even know whose minds we're trying to read here. But can we make an assumption that because the blast happened at 4:38 in the morning, it was not meant to kill anybody?
That is correct. Yeah, there was. I think it's safe to say that the person that did this would have known that nobody was inside the business. It was dark. It was 4:30 in the morning. Nobody should have been there, and I'm sure he knew that. What his intent was, what his message was, what his motivation was, we don't exactly know, and we may not know until we identify who that individual was.
Lieutenant Mike Boudreaux from the Medford Police is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the bombing at the Medford DA's office on Wednesday morning. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. I certainly heard District Attorney Beth Heckert talk about the fact that, yes, her office does handle people who are angry. No surprise. They're prosecuting people and trying to put them into jail and prison. So understandably, yes, the DA's office, any DA's office is going to make some enemies. But anybody this angry, this seems like a bit of an outsized reaction.
It really is. I mean, anybody in law enforcement or prosecution is going to make people angry, from the police officer to the investigator to the prosecuting attorney to the judge. You know, and there's always that risk. But, yeah, we haven't seen any type of reaction like this before. We've all had threats. All of us in law enforcement have had threats throughout our careers. But nothing that's really been executed like this, at least locally. So this is a first for us, actually, to have a bomb explode at a government building or agency with the intent to, you know, obviously cause some type of a message or an alarm is new for us. And it's really important that we do solve this crime, and I'm sure that we will.
Given that this is part of the criminal justice system, I have to believe there's some kind of surveillance system in place at the DA's office. Is there really anything there that can help the investigation thus far?
You know, and unfortunately, that would be common sense that there would be maybe some type of video surveillance. But the reality is that there was not. There was a camera on site, but that did not yield anything because it wasn't functioning properly, which is very frustrating. But, yeah, unfortunately, we don't have any quality video from the actual location, from the DA's office, but we have secured video surveillance from some surrounding government agencies and businesses.
All right, so you might at least be able to see the car moving away, or vehicle, assuming people got away in a vehicle, and it appears that is the conjecture at this point.
Yeah, and if we do obtain some video surveillance that we think that the public would help us in solving, we will release that. But a lot of the pieces of this investigation we are keeping close to the chest, because we got to secure the integrity of the investigation, and in the case that we do identify a suspect down the road, that we could actually confirm that it was him, because he or she or whomever will have knowledge of the case, not from media accounts.
Right. They would know details that only they could know.
Exactly.
Not that somebody got from reading the newspaper or looking at a radio station website. The fact that you mentioned that the DA's office is in a more or less residential area, so, I mean, if it had been around other businesses, that might have helped a little more, it would seem like, because there tends to be surveillance video at lots of commercial sort of establishments.
You know, there really is. In fact, this day and age, we're finding that a lot of businesses, a lot of homes now have video surveillance because technology has come to the point where they're rather inexpensive to just basically set it and forget it. You buy them and they auto-record and they write over itself after so many days. So, yeah, businesses tend to have those more than residential areas, and that's one of the frustrating things is that we haven't really obtained a lot of good residential videos yet, so we're relying more on the government buildings around the area. But again, we believe that the suspect most likely used the residential area to enter and leave the scene.
So there were two reports later in the day yesterday about, one, the possible connection to some bombings in Coos Bay, and then there was also this discussion of the seeking of a small convertible car.
Yeah, you know, the Coos Bay information is something that we're looking into. There are some similarities in that case, but there are some things that are vastly different, so it's something that we're considering. And then the car is also something that we're putting out just to make sure that we aren't missing anything. We don't know for certain if the car that was seen southbound on King Street shortly after the blast occurred was actually involved in this case, but we need to find out, and we need to find out by identifying who that was. But a witness described a vehicle, which he described as a black convertible with a long nose, so to speak, and that's the best we have, was southbound on King Street, and that the driver appeared to be accelerating, like he was either in a hurry to go, he or she was in a hurry to go somewhere, or maybe fleeing a scene. So we haven't really been able to determine what type of vehicle that was. We're keeping that vague, but the convertible part, the sports car part, the black, the two-door, that's the stuff that we're kind of relying on at this point. It could be anything from a Chrysler Sebring to a BMW Z3, and we just or in anything in between. We just really don't know. So we did put that out there in hopes we could at least identify that vehicle. And maybe it was a resident going to work and was late. We don't know.
Could be something that simple. Much more to find out. Lieutenant Mike Boudreau, Chief Tim George called this domestic terrorism on the day it actually happened. When we're talking about things like terrorism, is there actually a line of activity that has to be crossed to qualify that charge?
You know, there really is. In fact, there's a federal definition of terrorism in general, and that is one of the reasons that the FBI has been so involved in this case as well as the ATF, is because the reality is that this could be, if we could figure out who had done this, it could be prosecuted as terrorism. But that is a federal guideline, a federal statute, and there are criteria that have to be met to reach that. We, as Medford police officers or any local law enforcement, do not deal with federal laws, and we actually don't have a terrorism law as an Oregon state law. It's just a federal law. So I would have to just because it's not in my purview. Federal laws is not in our purview, and I could figure out the criteria for you, but that's still part of the investigation. And honestly, we're not really going to know for certain until we figure out what this guy's motivation was.
And again, when you say guy, it's just a sort of generic guy. It could be male, it could be female.
Exactly. I probably should be using the word suspect because that's more male or female, yeah.
It's more personable to say guy, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So how then, when you get in a situation where you've got Medford Police Department, Oregon State Police, FBI, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, how do you divide up the work of the investigation?
You know, it's been working out really well. We had personnel from ATF come in here, and their basic function was to help process the scene. But they actually, that's all they do. That's all they do is investigate bombing cases. So they are very familiar with components, debris, blast zones, everything that you would need to process a scene like that, where we, as local police, we don't come across bombings that often, and that's just the reality. We would do our best, but it's nice to have experts come in. We even had a scientist here on site that was talking about the possible, stuff that was used to actually detonate the bomb and what it was containing and stuff like that, which is very interesting, very informative. So it's nice to have that expertise. And then we also have just the support of, if we have leads that go outside of our area in a snap, we could have an FBI agent follow up on that. So, and then they're also helping out doing local interviews as well. So there's no shortness of personnel or folks willing to jump into this, and that's great. But we really need the public's help, because we're doing the best we can, but we rely on the public to give us information, and we're hoping somebody out there has that they either heard something, saw something, heard somebody talking about it, or maybe they were getting a glass of water and they saw a car drove by, or maybe they have a video surveillance system they haven't checked because they think they're too far away from the scene. Well, we're looking for all that help when it comes to a case like this.
What are the best avenues of approach, then? What's the best way to contact your department?
You know, they could actually contact. There's several ways to contact. They could, they want to just call. They could call Medford Police at 770-4783, and they could always be anonymous. They could shoot us an email. They could send us a tip, an online tip, which is on our website, medfordpd.com. And we have a Facebook as well. They can always shoot us a Facebook message or anything. We have a lot of avenues to contact us, and we are really hoping that will happen.
We'll put links to all those up on our Facebook page before the morning is over. Lieutenant Mike Boudreau at the Medford Police, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about the bombing at the district attorney's office.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. Bottom of the hour here on the Jefferson Exchange. Here's Garrison Keillor.